And welcome to all our guests. We thank you for joining us this morning. This morning we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday in Epiphany, a Sunday where God reveals Jesus Christ as his Son, a day in which we in the church remember as the disciples witnessed seeing Jesus Christ in all of his fullness. And we will also see in our text for today God the Father's instructions directly to Jesus' disciples. And they are words to us as his disciples. They are words that describe something that does not happen all the time. For we are more interested in what we think instead of what God has told us. God has made us many promises in Jesus Christ, chief of being that we are forgiven through his blood and that we can have eternal life if we believe and receive this promise for us. And because of this promise, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Word. Reading in Jesus' name. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leads them up into a high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His raiment became shining, exceeding white as the snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly they had looked around about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus. Only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what these things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Amen. Please be seated. We must really look back into chapter 8 to find out what was going on. For Jesus was talking with his disciples at the end of chapter 8 about a great many things. First of all, he had told his disciples that he was going to die. And Peter rebuked him. You can't do that, Lord. This certainly cannot happen. And of course, Jesus doesn't take rebuke real well. And so he got into Peter's face and set him straight. Now the reason that he did this is Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. But Peter figured he knew who the disciple or the Messiah was. And he had this all figured out about what was supposed to happen. And Jesus lets him know that it is his idea, the idea of man. And this all comes in the last part of chapter 8, as Jesus also talks about how we are to die, and that in dying we will find new life. And then starts out the first of chapter 9, which says this. Then he said, I assure you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God coming in power. Now this statement comes right after the end where Jesus talks about the judgment and about the end of the earth. And we sometimes wonder, well, is one of these guys still alive then? Because I used to think about how this whole thing came down. Well, either Jesus, one of these guys is alive, or Jesus messed this whole thing up. But then as I started looking at it, and as I started studying it, I find out Jesus messed up nothing. Because he says this, there are some standing here who will not see death until they see the kingdom of God come in power. And then we get the transition. And after 6 days, starting with the first verse in our text, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves to be alone. And he was transformed in front of them. His clothes became a dazzling white, extremely white, like snow, and as no launderer on earth could whiten them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. You see, Jesus gets done with this statement, and Mark makes it perfectly clear that these things are to go together. You will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God come in power, or they will not. And then after 6 days. And so Peter, James, and John are about to see the kingdom of God in power. For the kingdom of God is the person of Jesus Christ. And they are seeing him in his full glory, who he truly is. And I was thinking about this when, as I was reading this, and I was thinking about actually our trip back from Minnesota this past week, and the snow was blinding off, or the sun was blinding off of the snow. That brightness, that intensity, it's much brighter than that. And this is what they see when they look, person of Jesus Christ. So indeed, they saw the kingdom come with power. God has transformed Jesus Christ into who he truly is in front of their eyes. And then they say, Elijah and Moses, the giver of the law, and one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. And there they are, talking with Jesus Christ. Two men whom Peter, James, and John would have heard about from the time they were little children. Each time they went to synagogue or temple, they heard the stories about Moses. And they heard from the books that Moses wrote. And they heard from the prophet. And these men were talking to their teacher. There, Jesus stands talking to the greatest men in history as far as the Israelites are concerned. Those who delivered God's word. But there's something different going on here. Because they also understand that Jesus is to be placed right there with them. Now we got it. Now we got Moses, the law, and we got the prophets, and now Jesus. And that's really what Peter comes down. And Peter says to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not, since they were terrified. Now notice this. Peter calls Jesus Rabbi, a sign of respect for sure, but really only meaning teacher. Now, after all the miracles he had seen, all the wonderful signs that Jesus that he had shown, and he had just, or he was seeing Jesus where he couldn't even see him. It was so bright. And Peter says, "Teacher." Now, Peter had already heard that Jesus was going to die and that he would be resurrected. And yet, he sets them right up there with Moses and Elijah. He wants to make 3 tents so that they can all stay there, because it's a good place to be. When we have a religious experience, that's exactly what we want. We want to stay in that forever. And we want all those important people that are there. But what's really interesting is Peter's whole reaction to this is out of one thing. He is terrified. First of all, he sees Jesus Christ in all his truth and his power. And then he sees the law, the one who the law was given through, and the chief of the prophets. These are the most holy men. And Peter, being like most of us, even in the midst of his terror, decides to talk. Now, I think this is just funny. And when I was reading this actually yesterday afternoon, it was like, that's just like us. We get scared, or we get in an uncomfortable situation, pausing to find out what. We start to talk. And that's what Peter does. And the scary part is when we are afraid and we start to talk and we start to make decisions, it is there that we find out that we make major mistakes. And Peter's about to find out how big a mistake he made. And a cloud appeared, overshadowing them. And a voice came from the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." If it was not terrifying enough for Peter, James, and John to see the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, in his glorified state, they are now seeing, seeing him talking to two of the greatest heroes that the Israelites have, who had long since been dead. Someone else is making his presence known to them. It is the voice of God the Father, the one that you cannot ignore, the one who spoke the world into existence. And God gives them a message. This is not Moses who was the giver of the law, but the one who gave it. This is not a prophet, the one who tells about the coming of the Messiah, but this is the one who gives the prophet the message. And what does God the Father say? "This is my beloved Son." The Son is much greater than the servant. Moses and Elijah were both servants. But this is God Himself coming in human flesh. The disciples seeing Jesus Christ in all of His glory. And God says, "Listen to Him." And this is the thing that happens so little in today's world, that we would listen. This is the thing that we have in common with Peter. Because most of the time, when we hear what God has to say, what Jesus Christ has to say to us, we don't like it. And so we change it. And we make it like our idea. And this comes, as I said earlier, right after Peter had rebuked Jesus for saying that he was going to die. Now God is stepping in and telling him something, telling them who they are to listen to. And this is what we are to do. Listen to Jesus Christ. We have all kinds of things within Christianity that want to pull our attention away from the true focus. Christianity, actually, according to Jesus, is pretty simple. Believe that He is the Son of God. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it is also a little bit difficult. Because he says that in order to find life, we must die. You see, the commands of Jesus Christ are simple and yet they are difficult. But it is the commands of Jesus Christ that we are to listen to. If we listen to all the things that are in the books and all the modern stuff that's running around, we get all kinds of rules and regulations. We get, well, you should do this and make sure that you pray in this proper way and do this and do that. And where is that found? Where in the words of Jesus Christ is that found? That becomes a religion. God had a perfectly good religion in the Israelites. They had formed a great one based on His commands. But God doesn't tell Peter, James, and John to listen to Moses or to listen to Elijah. He says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." And Jesus tells us that He came to fulfill the law. He has done this for us. He has taken Moses out of the way. He has come to fulfill the prophecy that was given through all the prophets that has taken place in Him. We now have the revelation of God the Son. The kingdom of God has come to us in person. And we are to hear His voice. This is the only voice, not the voice of Moses, not the voice of Elijah, but the voice of Jesus Christ. And God goes on to demonstrate this point, I think, absolutely, in verse 8. "Then suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, except Jesus alone." There is no three tents. There is one kingdom of God. It is the person of Jesus Christ. God demonstrates His power. He brings Moses and Elijah there. And Peter, James, and John see them. But when God is done demonstrating, they are gone. And what stands alone is Jesus Christ. This to me is the exclamation point on what Jesus says. They are no longer here. Now Jesus is. Listen to Him. Listen to what He has to say. And it is Him alone that we are to follow and to listen to. And it is in Him alone that we have life. He is the New Testament, the new revelation of God, the fulfillment of the Old Testament law and prophets. He is taking care of all of those things for us. And after that perfect and righteous life, He allowed Himself to go to the cross and shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And then He alone, God resurrected. And now in Him we have new life. And in that life, He is the one that we are to follow. It's amazing to me how God works. Months ago I picked this text, and years ago, 2 years ago to be exact, I picked the book that we're studying in our adult Sunday school class. And it's amazing to me how these things start to work together over time. Because today, we talked about tradition. And how tradition can be a wonderful and comforting thing. But how tradition also can be something we follow and we lose sight of the real reason that we come together. And that's Jesus Christ. Because if it is tradition that we are going to follow, then we might as well go back to Judaism. Because that was a fine tradition. But it does not give life. It is only in Jesus Christ that we have life. And it is in Him that we have it abundantly. And so when we go to follow something, make sure it is the person. And when we go to listen to someone, make sure we are listening to the correct voice. The voice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are no longer under order like Peter, James, and John were at the end of our text. And as they came down from the mountain, He ordered them not to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. He is risen. We are His disciples. Let us go out into this world and proclaim this message. Let us go out and spread it with all its truth and its power, so that all people would know of the love and grace that God has given to them in His beloved Son. Listen to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks that You have revealed Your Son to us. That, Father, we serve a risen Savior. And we ask, Father, that you would work in and through us by his word, through your spirit, that we would go out into this world and we would proclaim your message of grace and mercy. That, Father, we would show your love by word and by deed. That, Father, you would and your Son would be lifted up in the lives of your body. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.